This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Ed Whalen, who's president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center here in Washington. He also served as a clerk for Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. And it's the High Court that we want to get his thoughts on today as we get more hints towards a retirement of soon-to-be 90-year-old Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens, who's been on the court since 1975, and what kind of confirmation fight we might be looking at down the road, either this summer or next, depending on when that announcement comes. And Ed, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, first of all, I want to get your thoughts on Justice Stevens, first of all, saying that he's planning on retiring either this summer or next, and saying specifically that he wants to do it while Obama is president. Do you read that mainly as a timeline or the fact that he wants someone of Obama's ideology to name his replacement?
Well, I think it's both. I think Justice Stevens has really made clear by his hiring only one clerk for the next term, and he has had in mind for a long time retiring at the end of this year. But I think the comments he's made about President Obama indicate that Justice Stevens is eager to have a liberal Democrat replace him.
He's an extremely lucid man for nearly 90 years old. Do you believe that if there had been a Democrat in the 8 years of the Bush administration, somewhere along that way, that he would have retired sooner than this?
Well, it's hard to speculate. As you say, he's been in very good shape. He spends most of his time working down in Florida. I think he has a pretty good life. So it's hard to tell. I do think that if there were a Republican right now in office, he would be interested in sticking it out.
What do you make of the fact that a Republican appointed him back in 1975 and President Ford, and that a Democrat will more than likely appoint the replacement? Obviously, that happens routinely given when justices retire. But I remember back in the early 90s when Justice White retired, he had been appointed by Kennedy, became one of the more conservative justices, and then because a Democrat had appointed him, decided that he wanted a Democrat to replace him, even though his successor would most likely be someone with a very different approach to the Constitution.
Well, that's right. I think what we see in Justice Stevens' case is that he is far more liberal than what a Republican president these days would nominate to the court. And I think in many ways he can be thought of as one of several mistakes that Republican presidents have made in recent decades in their appointments to the court.
What do you make of his 35 years on the bench? What will he be most remembered for?
Well, I think it's difficult to identify any single case or any jurisprudential approach to identify Justice Stevens with. In many ways, I think he was known early in his career for very idiosyncratic opinions. More recently, he's become the leader of the liberal wing, using his assignment ability strategically to achieve the results that he wants. I think, though, in the end, he will probably be remembered for a highly subjective view of judging that's often explicitly referred to in his opinion and talk about his experience in one thing or another and how that shapes how he thinks an issue ought to be decided. Justice Scalia said that you see in Justice Stevens' approach, this is a pure statement of judicial fiat, of judicial will expressed as opinion. So I think in many ways, unfortunately, he epitomizes the demise of the role of judge as neutral umpire and reflects the recent triumph of judge imposing his own will.
Obviously, we saw a Supreme Court nomination fight last year, given the numbers in the Senate at the time and the fact that a few Republicans ended up voting for her confirmation. Sonia Sotomayor got through relatively smoothly. There really weren't a lot of hiccups in her road, although a couple of issues certainly popped up that could have potentially derailed the nomination. What do you suspect the next time around, given just how increasingly polarized this town has become? And now, of course, Republicans, if they hang together, can potentially filibuster a nomination, although that's been pretty rare on Supreme Court nominations.
Well, it's very difficult to derail a Supreme Court nomination when you have 59 Democrats in the Senate. I think what was remarkable about Sonia Sotomayor's confirmation process was her resort to conservative-sounding rhetoric, her emphatic repudiation of President Obama's lawless empathy standard, and really her effort to sound very much like an advocate of judicial restraint. I think what that shows is the political triumph of the conservative or traditional understanding of judging, Unfortunately, though, she resorted to stealth, and there's no reason to think that she will prove to be the sort of justice that she talked about. So we'll see. I think that it's reasonable to expect that anyone whom President Obama nominates will be confirmed, and the real question is at what political cost. And what I'm hoping is that Republican senators will do a fine job simply highlighting important issues of judicial philosophy and explaining the respects in which they have concerns or objections to the particular nominee. I think in the long run, we're only going to get good justices on the court when we have, first of all, a president in office who understands the proper role of the court, and secondly, when we get a majority of senators who have that appreciation. And we don't have either of those right now. We need to work towards that path. And, you know, I personally am not, particularly enamored of a filibuster strategy. Indeed, I think it's a bad idea for a variety of reasons. But what we need to do is wage the political fight, the fight on judicial philosophy intelligently. And I think the American people are with us overwhelmingly on that.
I had a couple of quick questions before we let you go. First of all, you may not want to give publicity to folks you might think are a bad fit for the court, but are there any names out there that you think are likely to be high on the president's list or that you particularly fear are high on the president's list?
Well, I'm relying very much on the short list everyone else sees. One person on that short list is Diane Wood, a Seventh Circuit judge who has a very objectionable record on all sorts of hot-button issues, from abortion to same-sex marriage to under God and the Pledge of Allegiance. I think she would be a very controversial nominee. There are other leading candidates who have less overt records. The Solicitor General, Elena Kagan, has been very, very guarded over her career, so it's hard to know just where she would be. And then there are others who seem to have established themselves as judges fairly reasonably. I'm thinking of D.C. Circuit Judge Merrick Garland, who, while no conservative, has certainly earned the respect of his conservative colleagues. So, of course, there are lots of other possibilities as well. But I think, unfortunately, the days when we'd have a Democratic president select someone like Byron White, those days are long past.
And last question before we let you go. It seemed from one of your previous answers that you think the trail is a little too short at this point to determine whether or not Sonia Sotomayor has established what kind of justice she'll be throughout her tenure. Any decisions, any dissents or majority opinions that she's given to this point that give you an indication?
Well, so far she's been a lockstep liberal, and I expect that to continue. You know, we'll see. Perhaps we'll be surprised. But certainly the early buzz is that she's entirely lined up with the left of the court.
And we'll keep watching. Obviously, there's been rumors that it might not only be one resignation and retirement, but potentially Ruth Bader Ginsburg could step aside sometime soon as well, and that could mean a double fight on the Senate floor. Ed, always a fascinating discussion to look ahead. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Ed Whalen is president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center. He served as a clerk to Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. I'm Greg Corumbus at Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.